Disclaimer. This story is a work of fan fiction. The characters are based on real people, but the story is not real. It was written for fun, with no disrespect intended. Epiphany by Jerrakine. I'm really sorry, Adam, Chris says, head lolling on Adam's shoulder. Adam has been trying to get Chris to sit up and hold his head still since they huddled into the limo, to no avail. Chris is like an octopus when he's drunk, wiggly and floppy and with arms everywhere. It's okay, Chris. We'll try again some other night. They were out hunting tonight, trying to get a decent enough girl for Chris to have a one-night stand with. Because Adam is sick and tired of the way Chris keeps moping around at his place. His couch now has a Chris-shaped dent, and Adam thinks Chris's ass has probably evolved to blend in with the cushions by now. I'm not, you know, hung up on her or anything. He looks up at Adam with huge and bright eyes. You know? I know, Chris, Adam says, placating, petting Chris's sweaty hair back from his forehead. I'm just, like, picky, maybe. Chris is not picky. Chris is impossible. Adam can't blame the guy for being a bit shy when he's only ever slept with one person in his life before. But after months of trying to set him up with someone, anyone, Adam is beginning to despair. He brings the women to Chris, his type, tiny and blonde. He even gets them to proposition him. The guy doesn't have to do anything. He just has to sit back and enjoy. But no, of course not. Not Chris Allen. He talks to the women, tells them about Katie, for God's sake. Adam has seen some of them sniffling on their way out. Chris keeps sabotaging himself. Adam is going to have to hold his dick for him if he wants to get the guy laid, and maybe even tie him up too while he's at it. It's not about just sex, you know, Chris says, sliding further down Adam's chest. Adam pulls him up with an arm around his shoulders. What is it about, then? It's about, like, the person, you know? No, Adam does not know. It's about connecting and feeling and stuff. Adam sighs, rubbing a hand up Chris's arm. Chris can't help being a hopeless romantic, just like he can't help being such a great and honest and easygoing and hot guy. Adam should have learned not to judge Chris by normal human standards a long time ago. The world needs a whole new set of standards for him. They shall call it the Chris Allen standards, and no one else will ever live up to them. You know what I mean, don't you? Chris says, his face now buried in Adam's neck. Adam swallows hard at the feel of Chris's hot breath against his neck. He nods jerkily. Sex is, like, easy, Chris says, his lips brushing Adam's skin. It's just movement, you know? Adam nods again. But there should be more, like actually knowing the person, and liking them, and wanting them. Chris raises his head, eyes blinking sleepily, and so close Adam has to cross his eyes to look at him. Chris says, and moves even closer. Adam opens his mouth to tell him jokingly to get back to his side of the limo, but Chris plunges ahead before he can get a word out, his lips smashing against Adam's. It's just lips against lips, no moving, no kissing, but Adam feels his heart crawling up his throat to make a quick getaway. Then Chris pulls back, shaky and confused, brows drawn together, and looks at Adam's face like he is studying an insect under a microscope. He licks his lips. Huh, Chris says. Adam's hand tries to clutch at the seat, but the leather keeps slipping away from his grasp. You think that's why it never works? Chris asks, looking wide-eyed and surprised. What's why what never works? Chris cups Adam's cheek with his hand, surprisingly gentle considering his current lack of coordination. His fingers move against Adam's skin slowly. Then they trace his lips with a disquieting concentration. He leans down to lick Adam's lips open. Adam doesn't even get a chance to make a sound. When he pulls back this time, Chris looks considerably less drunk. He smiles wide. Of course, he states. We're so stupid. Adam internally flails. That's why I hated all your boyfriends, Chris says giddily, pressing his grin against Adam's jacket and looking up at him under his lashes, his eyes shining bright. You hated my boyfriends? Every single one of them, Chris says with glee. Adam has no idea what to say to that. This is good, Chris mumbles, pushing Adam's jacket aside to snuggle against his side, burying his face in Adam's armpit. This is perfect. What is? Adam hears himself ask faintly. Chris yawns and squeezes his waist. Tell you when we get home. The Date by Jerrakeen. They kiss for almost an hour that night. Chris is a puddle by the time they get home, but he's a very friendly puddle, who drapes himself all over Adam and kisses him slow and sleepy until he passes out. Adam follows soon after because, even though he knows he should be worried, the warmth and the smell and the feel of Chris against him is impossible to resist. It fogs up his brain and makes rational thought impossible. The morning brings a healthy dose of freaking out for Adam, along with a whole lot of sunshine and a slight headache around his eyes. He wakes up early and has to wait 3 hours for Chris to finally return to the land of the living to give him a clue as to where they are standing. But Chris's clues are clear as mud on a good day, which today is categorically not an example of. The first thing Chris tells him when he wakes up is that he is dying. The second is a groan Adam might have appreciated under different circumstances. Right now, he finds it kind of annoying. But it's impossible to stay angry at Chris when he can't even keep his head up long enough to drink the coffee Adam makes for him. He looks pitiful, lying on the couch, still and helpless like a beached whale, his face buried in a pillow. Adam pets his greasy hair and makes soothing noises at him. Adam does not like getting his hopes up. That's why when Chris says nothing about the night before, well, except for, oh my God, what the hell did you make me drink? He decides to take that to mean that Chris doesn't remember it. And that's fine. It's not like they promised to be each other's one and only or anything. It was just a couple of harmless kisses, done and forgotten, just like that. So he goes about his day, shopping, yoga, lunch with Mom, and brings Chris a smoothie when he comes back, because he's just that good a friend. It's not until that afternoon that he remembers his date and starts worrying all over again. Chris is watching TV, his cheek smushed against a pillow, eyes half closed because he says the light is trying to crawl inside his head and eat his brain. And Adam sits there filing his nails quite unnecessarily and working on his carefree face. It takes him a good half an hour, but in a sudden burst of courage, he finally blurts it out. So, I just remembered that I have a date tonight. He doesn't look up at Chris. It's a perfectly normal thing to mention. If Chris doesn't remember, then he'll think Adam is only telling him because Chris is sick and he doesn't want to leave him alone. If he does remember, then he'll think, actually, Adam has no idea what he'll think. Who knows what Chris thinks at any given moment anyway? Chris says. Just a sound, not even a word. I don't have to go, Adam says casually. I mean, no, no, Chris interrupts him, waving a hand. You should go. He offers Adam a pathetic smile. Go out, have fun. I'll probably fall asleep in front of the TV anyway. Chris turns back to the cooking show he's been watching, and Adam blinks at him stupidly. So that's it? Just go out and have fun? He tells himself there's no point getting angry over this since Chris obviously doesn't remember. But Adam was never the most rational person to begin with, so he feels free to fume. He takes a shower, a storm raging inside him the whole time, dresses up in his tightest pair of jeans, and puts on his fiercest eyeshadow. He is not one to be pushed around. Even if Chris doesn't realize what he did, well, he damn well should. No one disses Adam Lambert. Even memory loss is not a good enough excuse. I'm leaving, he says, standing at the door of the living room, and raises an eyebrow at Chris. Chris doesn't look particularly impressed. Instead, he seems kind of fond and doting, like he's someone's grandfather, and waves at Adam wistfully. Well, fuck him, Adam thinks, grabbing his coat and turning around. I won't bring him home, but don't wait up for me, he calls without looking back. If they are doing the friends thing, there's nothing wrong with complete honesty. Or a little made-up truth, anyway. The door closes behind him with a soft click. It is extremely annoying for Adam that his date crashes and burns, especially because it's all Chris's fault. Adam is completely off his game. He is not interested in the guy. He can't even pretend to be interested in the guy. He keeps finding himself drifting away while the guy babbles on, thinking about what Chris must be doing at home, alone, sick. There's no one to prepare something to eat for him, and Adam just knows Chris didn't have dinner. Because Chris is like that. He has an aversion to taking care of himself when he gets so much as a headache. He's like a little kid. He needs constant supervision. Adam hates eating his words. He would have preferred to not go home at all that night, because if there is the slightest chance that Chris will be jealous, he'd like to take it. Vengeful bitch, a lot of his exes have called him, and Adam never denied that it was the truth. He likes to share the misery. But unfortunately, Ricky, the guy he's out with, is a bore, and Adam is not the least bit interested in fucking him. Maybe he would have if last night hadn't happened, but it did, and life is a bitch, and now his standards have risen up to the impossible levels of Chris Allen. He knows it'll take a while to get them down again. He will need time, and vodka, and the company of his right hand. He lets himself into the apartment and tiptoes to the living room, where he can hear the TV still droning on. Chris is sprawled over the couch, unmoving, but his eyes blink open when Adam steps closer. Adam can tell he wasn't asleep. He's seen Chris waking up enough times to tell the difference. Chris sits up in a hurry, but not before Adam catches the weary look in his eyes. Pity party, Adam thinks, taking in the glass of bourbon, of all things, on the floor, and the sad, almost grieving expression on Chris's face. Chris wipes a hand over his face, wincing at what Adam is guessing is a tripled headache. "You're home early," Chris says, trying to sound cheerful. He sounds more like someone stepped on his balls. "Yeah." "What the fuck?" Adam says, picking up the glass and taking a sip from it. "Hair of the dog?" Chris offers. "Yeah, no," Adam says, shaking his head. "That's not how that works." He sits down on the couch, throws back the rest of the drink in one gulp, and lets his head fall back on the cushions. "Did you even have supper?" he asks Chris, who looks away and busies himself with the frayed edges of his t-shirt. "Nah, didn't feel like it." Adam sighs. What is he going to do with this guy? "So you, Chris clears his throat. "Not a good date?" he asks nervously. Adam lets his head loll to the side to face him. "No, it was good," he says casually. "Oh," Chris says, avoiding his eyes. It's early." Adam considers the picture in front of him. The nervousness, the drinking, the pathetic face. He knows what this is. There is, of course, a margin of error here, and that's too important to ignore, because their friendship is kind of invaluable. But Adam doesn't think he's wrong. He knows about these things. "I can't believe you," he says, sitting sideways and pulling one leg on the couch. "You're jealous." Chris looks panicked, eyes wide and scared. "You remember," Adam states, pointing an accusing finger at Chris. Chris does the perfect imitation of a goldfish. I remember what?" "Last night." "Of course I remember last night," Chris says, taken aback. Adam throws his hands up in the air and lets his voice go up a notch. "Then why the hell did you tell me to go out with another guy?" "I was trying to be cool about it," Chris yells back at him. They stare at each other for a minute, and then Chris slumps with a sigh. "We didn't exactly talk last night. I mean, I kissed you a lot, and you didn't say stop, but that was it." He looks down at the throw pillow between them. "I didn't want to, like, presume anything, you know?" Adam's heart does a little wiggle in his chest, and he finds himself crawling over to the other side of the couch to cup Chris's chin in his hand and make him look up. He shouldn't forgive so easily. That's not like him at all. But he can't resist the sad puppy eyes and the pouting lips. There's just no way. "I was trying to be cool," Chris whispers. Adam shakes his head. Chris is an idiot. Chris opens his mouth to say something even more idiotic. Adam shuts him up with a kiss. They are lying on the couch. Well, Adam is lying on the couch. Chris is mostly just lying on him. And they have been kissing for a long time, with both of them almost sober this time. Adam's neck is hurting from looking down, but he can't take his eyes away from Chris's lips. They're wet and red and pouty and very, very tempting. Adam wants to take a picture of him like this, head resting on Adam's chest, his eyes smiling up at him and looking so bright. He looks like joy and sex and love. So, how was your date? Chris asks, giving him the shy and jealous look from earlier. Adam rolls his eyes. What? Chris shrugs. I'm just asking. Adam gives him a look that says, yeah, sure. Are you going to see him again? Chris asks, his tone soft and cautious. Adam raises an eyebrow at him in challenge. I don't know. Am I? Chris freezes, not even breathing, his eyes locked on Adam's. Then he slowly shakes his head. No, he says firmly. No, you're not. Adam grins. That's what I thought, he says, running a hand through Chris's hair. 'Cause you know, my boyfriend is the jealous type. Chris snorts and hides his face in Adam's chest. Adam feels his grin against his skin. Be Cool by Jerrakeen. Chris has a headache that rivals the one he got the summer he turned 15, drinking for the first time and doing it by the gallon. Back then, he would have taken dying over the hangover, and it's pretty much the same today. It must have been the purple shots Adam kept handing him. Never trust a drink that glows in the dark. Chris is trying very hard at that point to not think about Adam and last night in conjunction with each other. He remembers the kisses. He remembers how much it made sense at the time. He's just not sure what it means that when he woke up this morning, Adam wasn't there. Or that Adam isn't saying anything on the subject, for that matter. Very confusing and alarming thoughts. Chris decides to steer clear of them until his brain starts working again. Half the day passes in a daze, and Chris thinks it's better this way. All very dreamlike. No need to panic in a dream. So Chris keeps his eyes half closed and pretends he didn't wake up. Until Adam opens his mouth and shatters the illusion. So, I just remembered that I have a date tonight. Chris feels all muscles in his body clench at once. His first reaction is to ask Adam what the hell that means, but then he pulls himself together and thinks about it. This is Adam. This isn't something he can screw up. He can't just go about it half-cocked. Maybe Adam wants to pretend last night never happened. Chris can't exactly call him on that because it would actually be a pretty merciful way of rejecting Chris. Or maybe Adam would still like to date other people and keep kissing Chris. Most of Adam's previous boyfriends weren't exclusive. Chris doesn't think Adam would mean that as an insult. Chris's brain may not be functioning properly, but this is not the time to act jealous and juvenile. He needs to act cool if he's going to survive this day. He can totally act cool. Chris doesn't mean to drink. His plans are exactly like he told Adam, watching TV and falling asleep on the couch. And hopefully he won't feel like killing himself tomorrow. But nothing on TV can pull his thoughts away from Adam. The way he looked as he stepped out the door, dressed to kill. That is not the way Adam would dress for just a date. Adam is obviously going for gold here, which means this guy is something special. Or really, really hot. Adam never brings guys home when Chris is there, but he does stay out at times. And he did say not to expect him back. The mental pictures are killing Chris. Chris is not a big fan of bourbon, but it smells like it would do the trick, and he needs oblivion as fast as possible. So, Chris and the bourbon, they become fast friends. Chris tries to wipe the patheticness off his face when Adam comes, but it's hard to do since it's all he can feel at that point. Spending hours alone thinking about failures and missed opportunities must have left their sign on his face. He conjures up a smile out of nowhere, though, and tries to act normal. He tells himself to try and hide behind the bourbon if it gets tough, Even though he didn't get to drink much of it, he can at least use it as an excuse for being off. He watches Adam drink the remaining bourbon, trying not to stare too obviously. It's insane how just one look, one kiss, changed the way he views Adam entirely. Before last night, he'd never considered kissing Adam. Now Adam's skin is calling for him. He can barely keep his hands to himself. "Did you even have supper?" Adam asks in that fondly exasperated tone he uses sometimes, and Chris's stomach twists itself in knots. Chris has to look away or else he's going to do something stupid. "No," he says. "Didn't feel like it." Adam sighs. Chris fidgets where he's sitting, trying to figure out if it would be normal to ask Adam about the date. If last night hadn't happened, would he have? He looks at it from left and right and backwards and forwards, and in the end decides to just go with it. "So you, he stumbles over words. "Not a good date?" Adam looks at him, his eyes sharp and piercing. Even when he's acting casual, Chris sometimes finds him overwhelmingly intense. "No, it was good." "And really, what did Chris expect anyway?"
"It was terrible, Chris. I wish I'd gone out with you."
"Oh," Chris says, feeling stupid and inadequate. It's early." Chris concentrates on his t-shirt. It's very old and stretched, even has a hole in the side. He works his finger into the hole, making it larger. He should never have kissed Adam. Getting drunk is not a good idea for him. He and Adam don't make sense, not out in the real world. Chris can't do the casual dating. He can't be okay with Adam flirting with other people. Just the thought of him touching that faceless guy he went out on a date with tonight is enough to set his insides on fire. Chris is an old-fashioned guy, and Adam is just not.
"I can't believe you," Adam says, turning around on the couch to face him. "You're jealous."
Chris's heart stops. He can try acting cool and aloof, but he can't outright lie.
"You remember," Adam says, sounding both accusing and triumphant.
Chris blinks at him, trying to make sense.
I remember what?"
"Last night." Chris has no idea what Adam is talking about. Why wouldn't Chris remember last night?
"Of course I remember last night."
Chris recoils slightly at the movement when Adam throws his hands up and yells at him.
"Then why the hell did you tell me to go out with another guy?"
Looking at Adam's face, all hurt and incredulous, something inside Chris comes undone. The next morning, Chris wakes up before Adam. His head is still throbbing, but at the sight of his boyfriend, it seems to lessen. Adam's face is very close. His breath brushes Chris's nose at every exhale. His lips look puffy and dry. Chris wants to lick them, but he doesn't want to wake Adam. He likes that he gets to stare like this. If Adam were awake, he never would have let Chris. He has ways of distracting Chris, as he proved again and again last night. "You're staring," Adam mumbles without opening his eyes. Chris smiles. "It's my right as your boyfriend." He likes using that word. Adam reaches for him, his hands large and strong, so different and sexy. He kisses Chris on the cheek, eyes still closed, and pulls him in. "Shh," he says, petting Chris's hair. "Sleep now. You can use all your boyfriendly rights when we're awake." Chris snuggles close and starts making a list.
Stay by Jerrakeen.
"You can't leave yet," Chris mumbles against Adam's lips.
Adam tries valiantly to pull himself away one last time and then gives up, falling back down on the bed.
"Then you get to explain to Jeremy why I missed the meeting."
"Okay," Chris says with an easy grin and wraps his arms around Adam to pull him in closer. Adam lets himself get lost in the kiss. He doesn't want to leave either. He wants to lock them in a room together and not come out for a whole month. And if he'd known Chris would have his epiphany this weekend, he would have made sure to clear his schedule for a honeymoon. But Chris sprung this on him out of nowhere, and now he has a meeting he can't miss in, wow, half an hour, and he has no idea how he'll be able to let go of Chris to make it. "Chris," he says, trying to pull his lips back. "Honey? Baby?"
Sugar plum? Chris snickers, but doesn't let go. He licks Adam's bottom lip and sucks it into his mouth again. His legs wrap themselves around one of Adam's, trapping it in between. I have to go, Adam whines into the kiss. No, Chris says firmly. He pushes himself up and over Adam and lies down on top of him. I'm not letting you. The hard-on pressing into Adam's stomach is very convincing. Adam groans and grabs Chris's ass with both hands, rocking against him. I can turn my phone off, he reasons. Then I can tell them I was stuck in an elevator or something, with no cell reception. Yes, Chris hisses against his neck. He bites Adam's ear and then works his way down his neck. That would buy us an hour, Adam says, flipping them around to get Chris under him. If he wants Chris to be all fucked out in an hour, he needs to get to it right away. Chris looks up at him with wide brown eyes. No, he says sadly. An hour's not enough. What? Adam says, flustered and breathless. Two? Chris is shaking his head. Call in sick today. Stay at home. The idea does sound wonderful, but the world can't stop so the two of them can fuck like bunnies. You have to teach me how to give a proper blowjob, Chris says, snaking a hand down between them to grab a hold of Adam's cock and stroking lazily. I need to practice if I'm going to learn how to do it the right way. Gah, Adam says, eyes slipping shut. His body arches into the touch, feeling both energized and deliciously lazy. He can stay there all day, under Chris's hands, and screw the rest of the world. He lets himself melt into the bed and Chris's skin, and Chris suddenly lets go. Adam deflates, all air leaving his body in a whoosh. He opens his eyes to meet Chris's innocent gaze. But, I mean, you can go if you want, if your meeting is really that important. Adam glares daggers at him. Chris nods encouragingly. I can totally practice on a banana. Adam reaches for his phone.